Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast, where we hope to embolden you with discipline, personal growth, and abundance to live your most authentic life. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we have a guest in studio today. This is Erin D'Anastasio, and she is the executive director of the Hatch Foundation. So welcome.
Thank you, Erin. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So why don't you just start and tell our listeners a little bit about you and your background and what you do?
Absolutely. So I consider myself to be a Springfield native. I technically wasn't born here, but have lived here for over 30 years. So, yes, very passionate about our community. Have loved Springfield since day one. I went to Mizzou for college and honestly knew that I wanted to come back to Springfield immediately afterwards. My family all lives here, and I knew that I wanted to raise a family when be here when I was raising my family. I've now been married for 14 years. I have three children, two twins that girls that are 12 and my 7-year-old son.
Oh, you're busy.
Yeah, it's a busy time.
Well, we are continuing our conversation about regionalism, about economic development, which is why we invited Erin to join us today, because she is a founder of an organization we're going to introduce to you today. But let's start with giving a little bit of history about our area and about regionalism, because this concept is not new. It's been around for a while. I was involved in the Ozarks Regional Economic Partnership, which is a 10-county region. And that was housed out of the Chamber of Commerce, which then morphed into the Springfield partnership, still including the same areas. But what a lot of people probably don't realize is that when site selectors, and we had just had a conversation with Gary Gibson last week, and we talked about regionalism, about site selectors, about how people choose to locate their business in Southwest Missouri. So at that time, and this was probably 15 years ago, and the partnership was started at least 10 years before I got involved. So we're talking 20 plus years at least that, this concept has been around about regionalism. And the reason regionalism is important, you know, we're from the third largest city in the state of Missouri, but a lot of people don't know Springfield, Missouri. A lot more people we would find as we were going out and going to different we would go to places where we could set up and talk about regionalism, talk about our area. And when we would do that, people would say, well, we're Springfield. And we, if we said something like it was close to Branson, then people would say, oh, yeah, I know Branson. So I think it might surprise people to understand that just because we think we're a big deal, we're not necessarily to these site selectors. And they're looking for, when these site selectors go out and try to find a property that they, or a place they want to locate to, they have to look at what the workforce is. And it's not just going to come from Springfield. It's going to come from all around. So really trying to incorporate that whole area and call ourselves a region so that site selectors would identify better with it. But now I feel like there's an increased interest in regionalism. And I think this is why we wanted to have you on, Erin, because you were on that trip to Northwest Arkansas with the chamber. So why don't we start there and just give us a snippet of what that trip was like and why you think that has increased the efforts in terms of regionalism.
I'd love to. So for any of you that are not aware, the Chamber organizes a visit. It's called the Community Leadership Visit, and it's an annual trip. And they go to different areas that are similar to Springfield in some ways, but different. And so we try to learn what they do well. And then ideally, you're bringing back some of those ideas, right? You're bringing them back to Springfield into our area and implementing some of those things. So there have been a variety of initiatives, like the Community Focus Report, for example, was something that was inspired by one of the community leadership visits. So when we went to Northwest Arkansas, so this was September of 2022, we heard a lot about regionalism. And I think it's funny because, again, you know, when you're from Springfield and you think about Arkansas, when I was a kid, Arkansas was you know, they were kind of the hillbillies. They were, right. You know what I mean? Right. You joked right. about, like, you're not going to Arkansas. Yeah. And now yeah. people are moving to Arkansas, yeah. Northwest Arkansas, from Atlanta, from, I mean, all over yes. the place. Mm-hmm. It is booming.
Thriving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that Springfield necessarily wants to be Northwest Arkansas. I don't think that's the case. But right. But it was inspiring to be there mm-hmm. and just to hear their story yes. and how mm-hmm. they have really worked on branding themselves and just mm-hmm. to, you know, understand that process.
And if I can yeah, stop you right there,
absolutely.
It's interesting that we say Northwest Arkansas, right? We don't say Bentonville.
Right.
We don't say, mm-hmm. you know,
Rogers.
So branding's paying off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. yeah. Yeah. And so that's, yeah, that branding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's key. It yeah. really yeah. is. It's so important for them. And I think it will be for us as mm-hmm. well when we think about our region. But on that trip, we heard from the Northwest Arkansas Council. They came and presented to the group and really gave the history of the council. And so when I say the council, that is their regional group. So that is lore for us. Mm-hmm. That group, we learned that they were privately sector-led, which was kind of a new concept for us. And really, they've been around for over 30 years now. So you have to, again, as you were saying, you know, these things were happening 20 years ago. Mm-hmm, yeah. So 30 years ago, Walton came together, Tyson came together, and J.B. Hunt. So the three of them sat together at a table. They weren't the Fortune 500 companies that they are now. Mm-hmm. But they said, in order for us to be able to keep our businesses here in Northwest Arkansas, here are things that we have to be able to do, that we need to bring to the table, that the cities are not going to be able to do for us. Mm-hmm. And so their first initiative was bringing an airport to the area. It took them 10 years to do it,
yeah.
but they have it.
Yeah,
right. They have the highway expansion. Was another big initiative that they needed to focus on? Yeah. And even getting clean water to the rural areas mm-hmm. of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Now that group focuses on education and healthcare and the homeless population mm-hmm. and housing and just, yeah. I mean, any kind of topic that yeah. you would think yeah. of, honestly, they yeah. have yeah. their pulse on. Yeah. And they are heavily influencing it. So mm-hmm. to hear how that organization came together, it is different than our region here, simply because, well, for a number of factors, but but I think one of them being that there were, for them, it was four cities that came together. They were relatively the same size, and each of them already had their own identity, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you already had the college
sure.
town, right,
yeah.
with
right.
the university. You
right.
already had, Rogers was already known for their retail space. And so mm-hmm. They all just kind of had that identity and knew what they were bringing to the table. So I think that that is something that's going to be very mm-hmm. different for us as we continue to look at lore and how this group is going to develop. But, mm-hmm. But again, just hearing their story and seeing the impact that they have had mm-hmm. and how they went about it was just really inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you came back.
Yes.
What were, obviously there was a lot of buzz.
Yes.
And everybody that we have interviewed on the podcast and any kind of conversation we've had from that trip mm-hmm. has always made an impression on me, who hasn't had the background with economic development that Angie has.
Yeah.
That everybody came back with an idea. So what happened when you got back?
Yes.
What was implemented? What was started right out of the gate?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of us were having various conversations,
yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah.
I can remember being a part of a group of about 10 or 12 community leaders that, mm-hmm. okay, so like, what can this look like? And what happens now? Mm-hmm. But as you can imagine, you're gone for 3 days, right, for this community leadership mm-hmm. visit. You're gone for right. 3 days, you come back, and you're back into your routine.
Right.
You're trying to catch up
right.
And still have the conversation. So, and then the holidays came around.
yeah.
Life
yeah.
happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
But then, so it was actually at the beginning of 2023, Brian Fogel and I got together from
yeah.
Community mm-hmm. Foundation of the Ozarks. And we started talking about what could regionalism be for, again, for our area.
Okay.
And we ended up convening a group of individuals, public and private sector, but it was more heavy on the public sector, I will say, at that time. Mm-hmm. There were about 25 individuals that we brought to the table just to honestly see, is this conversation worth continuing? Is there excitement about it?
Yeah.
And trying to understand how big would our region be? How do you define that? And there are just so many
yeah.
questions of, you know, what would this group focus on?
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up having that first meeting, and we felt like we were the right conveners for that conversation, representing two foundations. So we didn't
right.
have an agenda, yes, right? Yes, I mean, exactly. It was just truly, yeah, we want to see Springfield and our region as a whole grow, and, yeah, mm-hmm, and how do we help with that conversation? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got together around the table and learned that there had been efforts mm-hmm, on the public sector side of things, but that they hadn't worked. And honestly, everybody at the table is saying, because the private sector wasn't leading it or wasn't even invited, yeah, really to the conversation.
Right. Yeah.
So that was right, very interesting.
Yeah.
So at that point, we ended up, I reached out to the Northwest Arkansas Council, actually, and asked them, could you help us guide us in this conversation? Mm-hmm. We are not experts here, and we, yeah, don't know what we're doing, right, but we, right, want to do it.
Right.
And they actually recommended that we reach out to Ted Abernathy with Economic Leadership. And so we hired him on as a consultant, okay, and brought him in, and he met with this group, which actually ended up growing to about 40-ish individuals. Okay. Yeah. A lot, yeah, of people, like I said, a lot of people, yeah, are passionate about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we started, again, you know, asking those questions of how do you define the region, and what role could this group potentially, yeah, play? Mm-hmm. And then just this past January, he came out with a report, about a 10-page report, just kind of talking about some other groups that he has worked with and some of the things that they have focused on, how have they played this role, and then his recommendation for us.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And making the distinction that, yes, these organizations I talked about before were all housed under the chamber. And I think that's absolutely true, that as business people, as private individuals and investors, we just have to get things done, right? We can move a lot faster, yes, than government or public entities because of red tape and the white papers. I have nightmares about white papers. Well, let's submit a white paper for this and a white paper for that. When I just, you know, as a business person, I just want to get things done.
Right. And so often they say, okay, this person needs to respond within 30 days, and then, right, somebody else has another 30 days to respond. And mm-hmm, that can,
I mean, goes that on, and on and,
yeah,
on and,
yeah,
on.
Yeah. 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 You know, I've not been on one of the community visits, but it seemed like this time it was different. Mm-hmm. It really felt, because everyone I talked to, we've had Paula Doherty on the podcast, yes, and we, you know, so we know about Cycle Connect, yep, and some things, it seemed like people were doing things in different avenues, I guess, mm-hmm, just they saw something there and they thought, I could do that, yeah, which is awesome, yeah, because, yeah, you have people stepping up to, yeah, just really take the bull by the horns and, mm-hmm, and go do it. Mm-hmm. What you are involved in, and LORE, and since you've mentioned it a couple of times, I want, yes, you to tell everyone what LORE is, what it stands for, and why it's different in terms of what it's a much bigger project, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm, why don't, yeah, you tell them about that?
Absolutely. So the idea of the name, I should probably start there. LORE. We were really thinking about storytelling, mm-hmm, right, in the Ozarks. I mean, I think that's just such a unique piece of how our history still plays into who we are today. Yeah. And as you're thinking about different activities that you've participated in or people that you've met and, you know, some of the, even just like the scenery, the places that you go, mm-hmm, LORE is the storytelling by definition, mm-hmm, of just kind of sharing those experiences from one person to the next. And I think when we think about the evolvement and the future of our area, that's, mm-hmm, just plays such a unique piece to it, mm-hmm, all. So, mm-hmm, storytelling, I guess, really is kind of the inspiration behind LORE, but it's also an acronym. So it's Leaders for Ozark Regional Evolvement. And I think, you know, when you think about the acronym in and of itself, it's really futuristic. Mm-hmm. So we as a group, I mean, our big goal is to, again, to be a convener, mm-hmm, and to be a catalyst for really positive transformation for the future. We want to help write, you know, the next multiple generations future, right, for our region as a whole, yeah, and working as a convener with the public and private sector to be able to bring everybody to the table that, you know, appropriately, of course,
mm-hmm, sure,
but we will be a 501c3. We're working, mm-hmm, on that right now, actually, forming our own 501c3. And again, being privately led to where the public sector can come. This is something that we learned actually from the Northwest Arkansas Council. The public sector, they're not necessarily like members, they're not involved at board level or anything like that, but they can come to the table because they have to be partners, right? They have to, you still have to have that open communication with them so that way they can see here's what the business leaders are trying to accomplish and how can we support that and vice versa. So that's who LOAR is and what we are striving to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Great definition. Yeah. Thank you. So your foundation, the Hatch Foundation, actually has a part in LOAR, or as a partner. Is that appropriate to say?
Yes, yeah.
So tell us about the background of the Hatch Foundation and why you are a good partner for LOAR.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Hatch Foundation, we started technically at the end of 2019. I'll back up just a little bit farther, though. My grandfather, Bill Darr, started a couple businesses, and our home offices were here in Springfield. And ADF and IDF were the businesses, and we sold them at the end of 2019. And my family came together. So my parents, Kurt and Sherry Helwig, my brother and his wife, Tyler and Kate Helwig, and then my husband, Cody, and I came together and started talking about who, I mean, that's just a big transition time, right? I mean, if you can imagine, I'm not 40 yet. So, I mean, the businesses had been around for longer than I had been. So they were a huge part of our identity. And so trying to figure out how we wanted to give back to the community that had been so supportive of us, and in particular, of course, of my grandfather as well. So we decided that what we'd like to do is really focus on the inherent attributes of Springfield. We started talking about how a number of funders focus on, again, going back to the community focus report that I mentioned earlier, they focus on the red flags or the problems within a community, which obviously is incredibly important. But if you don't focus on the great things about a community, then inevitably they will actually oftentimes become a bad thing just because they don't have that support. So we really have, I'm going to say, four pillars that we focus on when we think about giving back. And so those areas are arts. I think that's such a unique, I mean, Springfield in particular is so uniquely positioned with our arts community. Our outdoors are incredible. We have so many wonderful attributes there. Entrepreneurship, I think, is very unique here in Springfield also. And then community engagement or community involvement. It's incredible how many individuals will, you know, raise their hand and step up and say, I want to help or I want to be a part of this. And so being able to help spearhead some efforts, you know, around that, but then also just support others that are happening right now.
I love that.
Thank you. What are some examples of a couple of other projects you guys have been involved in? Just to give our listeners an idea of, you've given them the pillars, but what specifically have you guys been involved in?
Absolutely. So a couple different parks in the area, trails, the watershed committee out at Fellows Lake. They have just an incredible dock out there. So we've been able to help fund that project, which has been exciting. Celebrate Springfield. I'd be remiss if I didn't put a little plug in there. Was actually also inspired by a CLV visit here in Springfield. But Celebrate Springfield is an initiative that I have started that Hatch funds, thankfully. They've been a sponsor in the past few years for us as well. But with Celebrate Springfield, it's all about helping individuals love where they live. Again, just obviously focusing here on Springfield in this area. We have some partnerships with actually, Boys and Girls Club is one that I'm partially, I really particularly love this one because we're helping those kids through a program that we've been able to fund with them to teach them about the outdoors. And so it's kind of a unique thing. I think a lot of people would think of Boys and Girls Club as, you know, helping with a red flag issue and you know, those kids in need. But for us to be able to help educate them on the outdoors and to see just how not only they can participate with like kayaking and hiking, for example, but then also how can they help to preserve the outdoors and really take ownership in that sense. The Springfield Art Museum is another group. Sculpture Walk of Springfield is another one. The library. I could go on and on. Stop me at any point.
I think it gives people a story in their head, if you will, going back to the story with you describing the different projects or initiatives that you've been involved in the community, because everybody listening has either been to that place, they love that place, they, you know, take their children there, whatever it is. So I think that's important to give background to that of the Hatch Foundation. And just a little segue, how can people get involved in your foundation if they would want to?
Yeah, we, being a privately, a private family foundation, all the funding goes, comes directly from Hatch, but there are opportunities to get involved through organizations or even just to, honestly, I've had a couple people reach out. It's been pretty incredible. Recently, I had someone reach out who was wanting to plant sunflowers. Yeah. So the sunflower fields in downtown. Mm-hmm. So being able to help connect them with an organization where the funding could go through, but we are able to provide the funding for that.
Got it.
You know, I could see community gardens being something that we could support. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, parks and, are already happening actually. So playgrounds and such. Yeah. But being able to just, you can go to our website and see the different organizations that we are supporting.
Okay.
And then learn more about them. And a lot of times there's volunteering opportunities as well, for those
Absolutely.
Groups.
Absolutely.
So you unveiled Lore at the Think Summit.
Yes.
So is there any update on where you are? The Think Summit was in March, right?
Early April.
So okay.
Less than a month ago.
Less than a month. Okay. So maybe not a ton of progress. But any updates for anybody who was there? Is there anything that's happened since then?
Yeah, we're still having conversations. It's really exciting. I just had a meeting with Dean the other day, who is leading the Lore efforts, and he said, I've had 10 people reach out to me who are excited and want to have a conversation. And I think we are in a really unique place right now because we're still trying to form what does that board look like and who really wants to step up to the plate and not necessarily give funding to projects, but to actually be able to dedicate time and leadership for the group, which is instrumental, especially right now.
For sure.
So I wish I had huge updates that I could reveal right now, but we are still having those conversations. We did announce that we were officially moving forward at Think Summit with the group Lore. We announced the name then, actually. But at this point in time, we are still reaching out to those individuals and curating that list of membership, really.
And so are you able to say, because you and Brian Fogel? Sitting down to talk through this concept is mind-boggling to begin with, right? Because you've got so many ideas that you're throwing on paper with two people, and then you start getting other bodies involved, and you've got more ideas. So can you give us a little bit of a broad view of the future of how you see this rolling out and what the vision really is right now for Lore?
It's a great question. Honestly, what we've said is when the board comes together, that they are going to be saying, okay, here's exactly what we're going to tackle and here's how we're going to do it.
Right.
So I don't have the specifics of that yet. But three areas that really rose to the surface initially anyway during our conversations with that larger group. I'd say like the big goal being workforce attraction. But within that, we also have quality of place, which is something that I'm hugely passionate about, especially with the Hatch Foundation. That's what we do, what we're focusing on. And then regional branding also, which again, back to Northwest Arkansas, that new branding for them has been a critical piece of their growth and development. And I think that that's a perfect example to be thinking of, to kind of be inspired by in the back of our minds. But I do think that those will be likely the first three. Again, with workforce attraction, I think that there's so many pieces that build that beast, if you will. And so I think there are going to be multiple things that funnel into that project. So that one to me is probably a 10-year goal where we're going to be able to really measure our impact at that point in time. But regional branding, I think, is something that we could likely do pretty quickly.
Sure.
I mean, I don't want to make it sound like that'll happen in a couple months, but because that is also a big project, but it's something that we could accomplish fairly quickly.
Because if you've got the brand to then go out into the workforce recruitment, it all goes together.
I think that it's important for our community to understand, how do you define quality of life? How do you define it? It's going to be a little bit different than how I define it, probably. But there are so many, again, going back to those inherent attributes, there are so many wonderful things about our area as a whole. When you think about again, the outdoors and the arts, mm-hmm. yes, but then also the attractions and there and how we're all mm-hmm. kind of tied together and just that strong community vibe. Mm-hmm. I think there are so many things that we can focus on if we help almost educate our own community mm-hmm. about what all there is right here.
Agree.
And then we can, we kind of use this analogy, turn the speakers out and then mm-hmm. help to educate others. And mm-hmm. so I could yes. see where any business, honestly, I mean, from, you know, the smallest to Cox being the largest right. Employer in the area, where they could take some of the materials that we're able to put together, where we're defining the quality of life here mm-hmm. and really branding the region, they could take it out to potential employers and say,
sure,
here's what you get when you come here. Like, yes, you're getting this job, but there's so much outside of
yeah.
a job for your yeah. life. So, yeah.
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 Yeah, and that's what Tanya and I have talked about. We that's why we're doing this month-long series about regionalism. We're trying to bring to light how great it is to live here, mm-hmm. what are some things that probably people have not experienced mm-hmm. or don't have any idea about. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get to, you know, what should our listeners take away from this? Obviously, I think workforce development is one of the keys in terms of what everyone should be concerned about, not necessarily concerned, but it impacts all of us. Mm-hmm. It impacts if you're a business of any kind and you're hiring, having the right workforce is important, being able to bring new business here, critical. Mm-hmm. We've talked about keeping our students here, right? We have five mm-hmm. universities, colleges, and we train them, we teach them, and then they go back to maybe where they came right. from or they find a job elsewhere. Yeah. When we were talking with Gary Gibson last week, we talked about the importance of broadband and mm-hmm. how that can help workforce development. Do you have any other thoughts on why your average Springfield citizen should be encouraged by what's going on or should be interested in what's going yeah. on? Mm-hmm.
You know, so many of the things that you just said, I'm like, yes, yes. We're singing the same tune here. You know, I believe if we don't focus on these things and if we don't, I think that, how have I heard it used? Springfield nice or something along those lines, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's true for our region. We're humble, I guess, yes. is probably mm-hmm. the best yeah. way to put it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you don't understand what is here, of course you're going to think the grass is greener elsewhere, but mm-hmm. how many, you know, the boomerang effect, how mm-hmm. many of those college students leave and then do come back? Mm-hmm. But why aren't we keeping them here initially? And I think it's because right. they're not going out into the community and really seeing everything that mm-hmm. we have to offer here. Mm-hmm. And so I think for, you know, for just the average citizen, it's important to focus on these things because if we don't, we're going to be left behind. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, look at Northwest yes. Arkansas and everything that they have been able to accomplish. Right. Yeah. It's pretty right. spectacular.
Amazing. Yeah.
yeah. And they are drawing, again, people from all over there just for mountain biking or just, you yes. know, for whatever it is.
Right.
Guys, I mean, we have the same makeup that
we
they do.
Yes.
But also, we have a great waterways as
we
well.
Do.
And yeah. I guarantee if they could put James River in the middle of Northwest Arkansas, they would do it. But,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
thankfully, that's one thing that we have that they don't.
They can't have it.
yeah. But I think, you know, when you think about economic development, it's if you don't focus on these things and help grow them, then mm-hmm. then we, our region, will be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell a story often that I had a client from, I want to say she was from Arizona. I can't remember now. It's been years ago. But we're driving down 65, and she says to me, gosh, it's just so beautiful here. Yeah. And mm-hmm. we see it every day. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it is.
Uh-huh. Right.
you know, yeah. but we yeah. don't think about that.
Right.
Because
right.
we, so it, I think if you set down the average citizen and you said, what are our attributes?
Right.
They would probably mm-hmm. be hard. I mean, they could name a couple of things, but they're not going to know the list in full because
mm-hmm. right.
we just get used to it. It's in our own backyard.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah. I remember as a kid, I was thought, oh, I want to live at the beach. And then having this realization, well, if I lived at the beach, I wouldn't appreciate it.
That's
thing.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's
right.
what we're experiencing here.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And we have so many things within a short drive as well. And I think that that's
Agreed.
Also very mm-hmm. unique for what mm-hmm. we have here and for our area.
Mm-hmm.
We had some friends visiting from Texas last summer. And so we took them out for a boat ride, went to Table Rock Lake. And they were like, wait, this is Table Rock Lake? And we're like, well, yeah, what do you mean? I mean, everybody in Texas is talking about it. They're like, this is incredible and it's so beautiful. Blah, blah. Yeah. We're like, this is the lake. Like, we, just, we don't realize how incredible it is.
No. Yeah. How clean. We're just used to it. And not overly populated,
right.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we take that for granted because you're just used to it.
Yeah.
It's what you see every weekend.
Exactly.
Right. You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think if talking about the benefits of encouraging others to listen, there's 2,900 board members of the GSBOR, Realtors Association, and if even half of those people were listening and understood how important this conversation is to our jobs as realtors, then they might start reading that article, or they might start listening to that newscast, or reading, you know, a book about it or whatever, to understand what a big deal it is to our profession alone.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a great point.
And to understand what is happening in our city and our surrounding cities, because we're not just talking about Springfield here. We're talking about everybody playing in the same sandbox and getting along and promoting Republic, promoting Nixon, Nixon promoting Ozark, and, you know, and on and on and on. So I think it's, we're hoping with this series, we're going to open the eyes and ears of the public to want to hear and want to have that conversation and going out to dinner with your friends, asking that question, do you guys have any idea what's happening here in Springfield with economic development and the surrounding areas? And I just think by having the conversation, we'll start to get ears listening, you know?
Yeah, and that's a great point. I know a lot of people talk about the housing market right now and the difficulties. But I think, as you said, if everybody can play nicely in the sandbox, we can hopefully help people to understand, okay, just because you're buying a house in, you know, Rogersville, for example, you're going to go shopping in Springfield and your kids are going to go to school in Rogersville. Yes. But you're also going to go eat in Ozark and you're going to, it's not just, it's, you know, if one location wins, it's a win-win for everybody.
Right.
Need to really start to put our arms around each other and support each other. And let's tackle these challenges, because a lot of the challenges that these other communities are having, Springfield's having also. But let's also support each other and be, you know, one another's biggest cheerleader.
And I think
for sure,
not understanding that you're not giving up your identity as Rogersville or Stratford or Ozark or wherever. It's not about that. It's just, again, playing nice in the sandbox and understanding that if one wins, when Nixa got 14 mil market, did I just say that wrong?
14 mil market.
Yeah. So that sounded like too many M's to me. But anyway, you know, when they got that, that's a win for all of Christian County and Springfield. And you're right. We're going to shop and eat in all these different areas. I love going down to Findlay Farms and, you know, exploring that. And I will tell you, as a professional shopper, that I...
That she is.
Yeah, I am.
We need to hang out.
I used to be, if I wanted to go somewhere for shopping, I went to Kansas City all the time.
Yeah.
And now I look at Northwest Arkansas. Yeah. We did our retreat, our podcast retreat in Northwest Arkansas. Yeah. It's so close. The roads are nice, you know. So people can want to do that in Springfield as well. And our area.
Yes. And to work here. Again, I mean, entrepreneurship is so strong in this area. We have new businesses, you know, coming around all the time. I think, all of it just ties in.
Yeah. It does. Mm-hmm. It does. One person I do want to mention, because we've kind of alluded to him a little bit, is Dean Thompson. And again, we talked about Dean a little bit when we talked to Gary. Just so you understand how devoted CU is to this project and the idea of economic development, Dean, who works for CU, is on loan to the Chamber of Commerce and is instrumental in economic development there. And we had hoped he'd be able to join us today, but he's a busy man. He has things going on.
And CU said, we need you here.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Gotta listen.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, thanks.
Dean has been an incredible leader for this organization. Yeah. He really has been. And I think that he's just, he's a big picture guy.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
gets it. He truly understands. And I personally could not be more thankful to Gary to be able to see Dean as a leader for Lore and to understand just the impact that this will have. So I'm very grateful for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we will put in our show notes a link to the Hatch Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Thank you.
And to LORE. Is there a website that you can go to already?
There
and
is.
It that?
Is minimal at this point, sure. but there is actually a survey on our website that I would love for any listeners to go to and provide feedback.
Great recommendation.
It's kind of focusing on, you know, strengths and weaknesses and, you know, any, and also we ask for any specific individuals that we should be asking to come to the table and join the conversation as well.
Yeah. Good connection card there.
Yes, exactly. Because it is a full community program.
Effort.
You know, it is not just
certainly
the top leaders.
Yeah.
I think is what a lot of people think of initially.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Erin.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You've been a wealth of knowledge and educating our listeners. We hope you all have learned a lot today.
Yeah.
So we want to thank Gershman for hosting us, and we look forward to talking to next week. From Show Me Christian County, Kristen Hazeltine. Yeah. So look for that, and she'll tell us all about what's going on in Christian County.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Be sure to hit follow so that you can see each episode as it pops up weekly.